The Von Hessler Doctrine. Eric Von Hessler on WSB.
Welcome back. Live from Sherwood Forest, now the first full hour of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins now. I am the aforementioned Eric Von Hessler. Our friend Autumn Fisher is not with us this week, but Jared Yamamoto is here. English Nick, my buddy, is here.
Hello.
And we did some headlines before, but I think we just did one story. So it's time for part two of
Headlines of the Week.
All right, Jared.
Oh, and the headlines don't stop here, Eric. Donald Trump is at it again. You know what he said this time?
I think I know what he said this time. I think he said that John McCain is not a war hero.
Yes, sir. Yes, indeed. This guy.
Let's hear that audio if we could. John McCain's not a war hero. Well, he's just going to say what I just said, but it's more interesting to hear him actually say it.
He's a war hero because he was captured. I like people that weren't captured, okay? I hate to tell you.
That's one thing that he said. But he did one point. He said he's not a war hero. And then he was challenged on that. And then he said, well, okay, because he was captured. And he fudges around like that. And then I just heard a clip in the news, which, you know, first of all, before we get to that clip, I told you a few weeks ago that Donald Trump was a horrible candidate. I can't believe that Republicans are falling for this. If somehow he became president, mark my words right now, he would be the worst president in the history of the world. The man you do not want a president who creates 17 problems for every one problem you want him to go after. And since he's basically announced for president, he's created 17 problems for himself in trying to explain what he would do. And that people are following this guy at all or flirting with him is amazing to me. It's as if, you know what, I'll say something. Let me be Donald Trump-like. I think it's anti-American to be for this guy. Because if you're for this guy, basically what you're saying is, this country is so terrible, it just needs to be broken. You know, it's as if somebody came along and said, what this country needs right now is a good jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels good. That's emotional. But that does not make a good president. But I said from day one, this guy is just going to keep talking until he talks himself out of this. I think this is, if this doesn't end his campaign, there's really something wrong with the Republican Party. So now he won't, of course, he won't back down on anything. Won't back down on anything. You want a president like this? Doesn't have the ability to wake up the next day and go, you know what, I'm going to go out there and say that was kind of silly. And no, he can't back down on anything. So what does he do? He diverts. It's not really about John McCain anymore. It's always about him. And I can't believe that Republicans, who for years have been telling us that the Democrats throwing somebody up there who says that by the sheer force of his personality, he'll change things, how stupid that was with Obama. And now we've got a guy like this now that Republicans are following and making number one, basically saying, by the force of my personality, I'll make things happen. Well, here's the force of the personality. Never takes responsibility for a mistake.
This whole thing was brought up by a lot of the people that are competing against me currently that aren't even registering in the polls because people are tired of them.
Yeah, you know what? They don't have as much money as you do either. They're not as rich as you are, and they don't, their hair isn't as good as you are, except what you just said says nothing to the point. No one who's nowhere in the polls brought up John McCain and talked about him that way. Now, here's another thing. Here's another problem with when everything that you do is improvised. And this is what the beauty of Donald Trump is, right? It's from the gut. You know, who needs a brain when it comes to politics? It's all the gut, and that's what we like. We like a guy with a gut. Well, here's the problem when you're improvising. You start pulling from little pieces of information that you have. Now, I guarantee you, let's face a real fact. There is a sliver, there's a small portion of conservatives and some veterans who believe that John McCain was not a war hero because he turned over information to his captors. There is a small group of people who believe that. And over his years, guess what? A couple of these guys have gotten into Donald Trump's head, and that's what I hear kind of coming out of him on that. Now, John McCain was in captivity for 6 years. He was repeatedly tortured. His bones were broken. And at one point, yes, he did give up information. Now, being somebody, I guess I'm the only person who remembers things. John McCain mentioned this in his acceptance speech for the nomination at the Republican convention. He told the story and he said, and I broke, and I said some things. But this was after his bones were broken. And I look on the internet and I see people, because the internet is for all the craziest people to get to the front of the line with the comments. So you see people, Donald Trump's right. He was no war hero. He turned over, blah, blah, blah. And I want to know, no. What have you done? What have you done?
Mm-hmm.
How many years were you in captivity? Now, don't sit there from your couch and tell me that you wouldn't have been broken. Because I like to think that I wouldn't be broken. But there are certain parts of my body, which I won't mention on family radio, that if you took pliers there, I cannot guarantee you that my patriotism would win. And that's just a solid fact. And I would like anybody listening right now to tell me, as a man, if pliers were inserted into certain areas and pressure was applied, that's all you need to know. You tell me that you know for a fact that your patriotism would win. Here's another thing. I don't know, and I've never seen the evidence of this, and I can't look for this evidence on the internet because it's just the crazies that hate them that would put it out there. I don't know how much actionable intelligence the Vietnamese got from John McCain, meaning what they were actually able to work with, or if our military said, you know what, we need to kind of change things around because we know they've got these people and they're torturing them. So, and I don't know if we changed what we were doing knowing that there was a possibility that intelligence could, because he was there for 6 years and they knew that he was being tortured. And they were torturing him, I believe, more than the others because he came from a military family. So, you know, everybody needs to check themselves at the doors. That's a different issue with John McCain. You don't tell me your opinion of what a war hero is if you've never been there, if you've never been actually in, because 6 years being beaten up all the time, I don't know that anybody listening to this show can tell me for a fact that they would never break. And he held as long as he could. So Donald Trump is sort of listening to other voices, and he's improvising. And so that comes, you know, to the fore. If you are a Republican, if you are a conservative, this should disqualify this man for being president of the United States for one reason. Even if you agree with everything he says, and plenty of Republicans don't like McCain's policies, that's understandable, and maybe they don't dig John McCain at all, but for this one reason, the president's first, second, third, and up to 19th responsibility is his commander-in-chief. And any commander-in-chief who will just cavalierly say things like this about people who were prisoners of war, in my opinion, has lost their moral right, not their legal right, but their moral credible right to be president of the United States.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, too. Do you think that he honestly believes in himself? Do you think that Donald Trump believes what he's saying? Because
I think he's an egomaniac.
He knows exactly how to get the media to follow him and to make sure that he stays as the spotlight. So I wonder, I can't take him seriously.
But has that turned into votes yet? Or, I mean, it can't yet. We'll see if it ever turns into votes. I suspect that it won't. And also, when you're evaluating somebody who's going to be the leader of your party, now you got to start looking at, okay, let's say he's leading Hillary with 2 weeks to go. You feel completely comfortable he's not going to say something with 3 days left, 5 days left, that just shocks everybody, and just say conservatives don't go out and vote for him at that point and Hillary just wins, or just where people wake up and go, this guy just can't be president of the United States. I'll tell you something. I have been, I'm a libertarian, but that party doesn't produce people who can actually be effective, and I believe in being effective, so I vote Republican as a libertarian. I am telling you right now, this conservative right here, this fiscal conservative, will never vote for Donald Trump. Now, here's the thing. We live in a red state. It's not even really a contest here. Whoever the Republican is, they can put up a mop. The Republicans could nominate a mop, and it was win Georgia, and it's winner takes all, so it doesn't really matter. But I would, I'd vote in protest for the Libertarian. I wouldn't vote for Hillary, but I will never vote for a man like this to be the president of this country, because I don't believe in this sort of frustration that people are feeling. This is America. It can always be turned around. Always. And to me, this is a non-belief in America. Let's just send a bull in a china shop and just break it into a million pieces. To me, that's anti-American. And Republicans are making fools of themselves right now by putting this guy at the top ever. I mean, the last time around, look what the Republican Party did. They gave everybody their moment in the sun as number one because they didn't want Mitt Romney. Then they ended up with Mitt Romney, and then look what happened. Can we, be somewhat smart? Maybe you don't want Jeb Bush. Some people do want Jeb Bush. Scott Walker is in there. There's Rubio. There's
Christie.
I'm forgetting somebody. Who's in the top three right now? Yeah, those guys. Decide between four or five of those guys. Or Carly Fiorina, or whatever. But this clown show is not helping the Republican Party. Ask yourself this. How long do you want this guy in this primary? Do you want him speaking on the Wednesday night before at the Republican National Convention?
No.
And by the way, as we go to break, are we going to break? I'm going to tell every Republican something. Ronald Reagan would hate this. Ronald Reagan would stand up and give a speech against Donald Trump. Think of where you are, conservatives. Wake up. Use your brain, not just your gut. Use them both together, but bring a little more brain into it. A few more headlines when we return. Welcome back. I'm Eric Von Hessler. That's Jared Yamamoto. That's English Nick. Before we get on to more headlines, Channel 2's Brad Nitz predicting a high of around 95. Nice solid 7 on the Mellis meter. This weather report is brought to you by Shoemate, the official air conditioning of summer. And when we went to break, I said to the people who are following this Trump nonsense and believing in him that Ronald Reagan would have hated Donald Trump. If you don't believe me, go back to Ronald Reagan's last public speech. I believe it was his last public speech at the Republican National Convention in 92, I believe it was. And Pat Buchanan was on the rise, and it was all anti-immigration and all of this sort of stuff. And Ronald Reagan is angry in that speech. He's angry at what he's seeing from his party. And because Ronald Reagan was a happy warrior, he believed in being a happy warrior. That's how you convince people to follow you, and that's how you actually are able to lead once you get there. And he was angry at that time that it was becoming a negative party. So take a look at that speech. I'm sure it's available on YouTube. And you ask me whether or not that man in that speech would be following this buffoon, Donald Trump. But anyway, we need to get to maybe another headline real quickly.
Yeah, this kind of relates to Donald Trump too a little bit. So during the Miss USA pageant last week, the beautiful Miss Texas address, CEO pay, and the responses from everyone just indicated that they loved it.
Okay, I'm interested in both the question and the response here, so hit it, please.
Last year, CEOs in the United States made around 300 times as much as the average worker's salary. Should the government impose boundaries on salaries of executives?
That's a very good question. You know, I think that if you work hard enough, you can attain anything. This is the land of opportunity. And CEOs, I believe that they work hard enough for their money, so I think that they should be able to attain whatever it is that they are working for.
Now, I agree with her answer. Interesting that you know, that question was to Miss Texas. I would like to have heard what Miss Vermont had to say. I'm sure it would have been, you know, the polar opposite. But the question, this thing about CEOs make too much money and something needs to be done about it. It's interesting. It's always just business people, right? By the way, being a CEO is not easy. I couldn't do it. I don't think anybody in this room could do it. You're a thousand, if you're the CEO of 10,000 people or something in a company, I mean, English Nick here has a little a tea place that he's the, and you know how tough that is every day.
Yeah, Dr. Bombay, it's on your mind 24/7 when you run a small business.
And
if
you were a CEO, then you'd also have to be a politician, basically, where everything you say can hurt your thing and everything. It's a very difficult job. And you get paid because you can do it when most people can't. That's how most pay goes. But also, what's interesting is it never goes to other things. I never heard anybody ask a beauty queen a question, because this is who we should be asking, beauty queens. No one's ever asked the question, Tom Brady, how much more of a percentage does Tom Brady make than the janitor who cleans up at Foxborough? Why is that ever? That's never put out there. We all understand why, because we know the janitor can't do what Tom Brady does. We know that because almost every other quarterback from the last 10 years can't do what Tom Brady does.
True.
That's what the CEOs do. They do. Whenever people are saying the factory worker and the CEO, in this fantasy in my mind, all of my fantasies aren't online. Some of them are in my mind. And I have a fantasy in my mind where the CEO just is fed up with it, and there's a bunch of people picketing outside, and he walks out, and he just takes the keys, as if there's keys to a company. He just takes the keys to the company, and he just tosses it to a random guy who works on the floor.
Right.
What do you think's going to happen to that company? You think that company's going to flourish and get better and better? CEOs get paid more than you do because they can do it and you can't. Now look in the mirror, deal with that, and figure out what you do better than most other people. Start worrying about yourself. What do you do better than most other people? And then focus on it like a laser, and you'll do better than you're doing right now. And you may do better than anyone can imagine. Believe me, my family never saw me getting out of anywhere. Believe me, my family never saw me getting my own apartment, okay? And then I figured out, oh, I can run my mouth better than most other people can run their mouths. And then I stuck to it. Whatever it is you do better than most other people, focus on it, and you'll make more money. But there's no CEO in this country that's ever taken a dollar out of my pocket or your pocket. Use your brain again. Is that the theme today?
Start using
your brain. All right, there's a lot of outrage in this world. And English... No. We're doing Georgia stuff next.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm so confused.
It's the extra half an hour, man.
It's got me crazy.
Yeah.
So we get back. We're going to do Georgia stuff. Channel 2's Brad Nitz. Or I'm doing the other one. I'm sorry.
No worries.
Of course we love Brad Nitz, but you are not now. If it's Sunday, it's time for the Sunday AJC. You know it, I know it. Sunday Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Pick it up this week for a deeper look into the state's billion-dollar gamble on toll roads and the likelihood you'll give up money to bypass traffic jams. It's Sunday. Go get your Sunday AJC. So welcome back. As I said before, I'm Eric Von Hessler. Autumn Fisher's not with us today. Jared Yamamoto is here. English Nick is here. And I believe that it is time for...
The research is in. And after a careful calculation, it's called Georgia Stuff.
Georgia.
We on the grind.
Georgia.
All the time. It ain't nothing on my mind, but...
Georgia.
We ain't playing with you. We on the grind.
Georgia. You know what? Before we get to Georgia Stuff, going back to the beauty pageant girl who stuck up for CEOs. Why are we asking beauty pageant queens political questions? This started like 10 years ago
beauty
or something.
Beauty and brains.
I think it's really because it's like to try to give some sort of credibility to beauty pageants that aren't really there. Because beauty pageants are an anachronistic thing now. I mean, first of all, it's a family show, but we all know we're three clicks away from gynecology at any time. In the 70s, to see pretty girls in bikinis, it was like, well, okay, once a year, this is on, and we get to watch that. We're not in that situation anymore. But there's a machine, and a lot of people are making money off these things. They don't want them to go away. So we end up in this weird situation where, yeah, we have these beauty pageants, and they're parading around like that, but we have to ask, you know, hard questions of them as if they're politicians so that we won't think it's all about their looks. But, I mean, honestly, is anybody tuning in to find out what they think is the answer to... any of the world problems? I mean, so we end up in this weird situation where we still have the beauty pageants, but we can't be sexist at all by going, man, she was really good looking. Oh, you're sexist. Is that why you're watching a beauty pageant? Well, the word beauty is still in front. You know, so it's anachronistic. It's silly. There's no need. There's no need for the beauty pageant any longer. And I don't know who still watches these things. After Trump, this is the one Trump owned, right?
So yeah,
after,
it used to be.
After it got, he still owns it, and it got knocked around from it was supposed to be on Univision, and then
NBC.
All these, what did it end up being on? The MAV network was on, like,
gosh.
It on Spike TV or something? I mean, I don't even know who saw this show.
Oh my God, Eric, you're so sexist.
I know.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm here, I'm filling in for Autumn.
I know. You're
oh my God. Will you watch these girls?
Mm. Well, that's the thing is, apparently you're supposed to watch them because they might come up with some sort of new sociological idea on how
solving the ISIS problem. They know.
Right. I mean, they're going to be spokespeople for stuff or whatever. Their job is to be pleasant. And
Reels TV is what.
Oh yeah,
Reels.
With a Z.
Yeah, with a Z.
For Reels.
Yeah.
For Reels. Yeah.
Anybody right now? Can you give me a channel on anything? On anything? Satellite. You know, anything. Because somebody tell me the channel for Reels TV. If I want to watch Reels TV, I got to first find the menu, and then I got to do that stupid thing with your remote where you have to type with your remote by going up and down. And
there's got to be a ton of bad reality television on Reels.
I would imagine. When you're doing that remote thing, is there any way? It's 2015. We have all this technology. There has to be a way better to find things in a menu than to go, you know, from A and I got to go down to Z.
Yeah.
And go pop, 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 pop. It's ridiculous. Come on. We sent a man to the moon in 1969, for heaven's sakes. I should be able to navigate the menu on my satellite television.
Telepathy is what we need between ourselves and our televisions.
It's about time, is what I'm saying. But we're supposed to be doing Georgia stuff, so let me back off and allow Jared Yamamoto to give us a couple of those stories.
Yeah.
By the way, if you don't get it, these are stories that all happen in Georgia.
Oh, thank you, Eric. I'm glad you clarified that for me, because two Georgia drug offenders have had their sentences commuted by President Obama. That doesn't happen very often.
What are their names? I probably know them. I may have met them. I don't have that. now here's I've been a pretty good libertarian / conservative. Here's one where I'll upset some of the people. DeMarco, can you hit Obama? So Obama went into a prison, right?
Yes.
So he's letting a lot of people go, and two of them are from Georgia. He went into a prison to actually meet with prisoners and talk to them about this. And after meeting with the prisoners, while he was still in the prison, he said this:
"These are young people who made mistakes that aren't that different than the mistakes I made and the mistakes that a lot of you guys made."
Now, I saw a lot of eye rolls on Fox News panels and stuff for that one. You know, on this one, what do I always say? A stop clock is right twice a day. In essence, in general, I agree with the president on this one. Now, every case is individual, and I don't agree with, hey, let's just open the jails and let everybody out. But I believe that nonviolent drug offenders do not belong in our jails. And I'm talking nonviolent. I'm not like, well, he hit somebody once. I'm talking about nonviolent. Now, I have a feeling that because I'm a libertarian, I look at things that maybe trump up those numbers a little bit, no pun intended, to make me believe there's more nonviolent drug offenders in prisons than there are. But in my mind, prison should be, for the most part, should be about violent people who can hurt us if they're not in prison, and major fraud. People who have scammed people, frauded people out of their money, done these sort of things. Now, there may be one or two other categories I would hold in there. But people who are engaged in vices that other people don't like should not be in jail. And the laws, I think a lot of the laws should be changed. I was talking to a friend of mine who was, you know, my age. I thought he would have agreed with me. There's a lot of resistance to the idea of, you know, sort of legalizing a lot of things. I don't know about everything. And immediately my friend was, well, we'd have all this addiction and everybody would, it would be craziness. I just say, look, I'm not arguing it as a perfect solution. Uh-huh. I'm saying, look at what we've got. You like, I mean, if this guy, El Chapo, who got out of prison through, you know, through some sort of hatch in a shower, like a scene from the Avengers or something. I have no idea how this was pulled off. That this guy, if drugs are not illegal, follow me on the thought experiment. Somebody tell me what his product is. Where does he get his $1 billion? Because our country is a large part of that market. The inner city gangs, Chicago, what's going on in Chicago? What's going on in Baltimore? What's going on in a number of cities? If these drugs that they are, you know, selling, if they're legal, what is their product? What is the product that the inner city gang moves and makes money from and then fights over territory about? This is what I want. I'm not saying legalizing these things is a perfect answer. I'm saying we've had 40, 50 some odd years of the other way. And let's not even get into, which I think conservatives can jump on board a lot more. The DEA says, we think that you're involved in drug trafficking. They take your car, they take your house, they take your boats, and through some kind of bizarreness that I don't understand, if you win the case, you don't get your stuff back. Now, this is something I think conservatives can... So you, and also, you really want your local police departments to be incentivized? Because they get to sell that stuff, the boat and the car and the house. That's why you don't get it back. There's a lot that's wrong about the way that we're doing this. Now, I gotta say, I'm not for opening the jail cells and letting everybody out, because nonviolent is kind of squishy, and it can be. But I'm talking about the real people that should be in jail are people who are a threat to others and fraudsters, people who would fraud, major fraud, bilk you out of things, the Madoffs of the world, you know. Oh, we'll have all these addicts. Let me tell you something. I've never done heroin in my life. I've never wanted to. It's never occurred to me that I would do heroin. But I know for a fact that if I left the show today and decided, you know what? I want to try heroin for the first time. I know for a fact, after 40, 50 years of this drug war, I could get it in my hands within 48 to 72 hours, and I'm probably being liberal with that projection. I could probably get it in my hands in moments. Mm-hmm. Somebody Jared knows, I'm sure.
Easy now.
But you know what I mean? It's not hard to get for all of the things that are broken and the lives that are when you throw everything in there, the trafficking, the inner city gangs power, all of that kind of stuff. And yet, I know that if I wanted it, I could get it within a couple of days if I was dogged about it, if I decided I definitely want to get this. So it's not even working. Will there be more addiction at first? I think probably there would be a spike at first, because whenever something's available, when it's not. But I believe that if you looked at that curve over a while, it wouldn't take long before you get back to the same people who are addicts and the same people aren't. Because here's a little clue. When you're a heroin addict, it's kind of hard to keep a job. And there are those who fall and, okay, I'll lose my job. But most people are not like that. Most people will take care of themselves. I believe in that as a libertarian. So I don't agree with the president on many things, but I don't think somebody should be sitting in jail for 20 years. And you know what? He makes a point there. An awful lot of people who are politicians now and grown-up, respectable adults did things and didn't get caught. And you really can't be in favor of harsh jail terms for other people who happen to get caught. You know, so let me be a little bit unpopular maybe on a station like this and say, I don't know about legalizing everything, but certainly there's a couple of drugs that are used quite often that need to be moved to a different area, and we need to start thinking about, it would cost this country a lot less to deal with addicts and get them help. Now, that wouldn't always work, and there would be waste and abuse in that program, just like there is in every program, but I think it would be a lot less money and a lot less social carnage if we went in that direction. Again, somebody tell me, what is their product? What is El Chapo's product if he has, there's no reason to, you know, Steve Jobs proved this with illegal downloading, right? Everybody was downloading illegally because they didn't want to pay for CDs at the turn of the century. And the record companies were against that. But what would happen is you would get sometimes bad downloads. They weren't very good. The audio wasn't that good. And Steve Jobs stood up and said, people will pay if they know that the product they're getting is good and clean and all of that. So the fact of the matter is, most people would go into a pharmacy to get their drugs, even if it cost more, a little more than on the streets, just to avoid everything about the streets. So I don't know how you do it. I guess pharmacies, maybe you have to have a different place. I haven't got all the answers. I'm just saying the problems that would come up through legalization cannot be worse than the problems that we have drugs in our streets right now. That's my only point. And we only got to one Georgia Stuff story there, but here's the good news. We have one more segment of Georgia Stuff, and we'll try to stuff some Georgia in there for you. Welcome back. Hit it. Everybody on the dance floor. Channel 2's Brad Nitz is predicting a high around 95, and he's a good predictor. And that translates to a solid 7 on the Mellis meter. This weather report brought to you by Shoemate, the official air conditioning of summer. Also, I want to let everyone know the 15th annual News 95.5 AM 750 WSB Carathon, benefiting the Aflac Cancer Center and Blood Disorders Center of Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, starts tomorrow. We're almost there. Just a few more hours, 4:30 a.m. And this is the first one that I'm going to be involved with, and is honored the right word? I mean, yeah. To me, to be a part of this is, in a strange way, makes me know that being in broadcasting in Atlanta has, like, I have some legitimacy now. That may seem strange to say, but I've listened to the Carathon for years. I've donated to the Carathon. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, and it's, you know, it's one of those things where you can actually give money to something and you know the money goes where it's supposed to and you know that it actually does good. You know, if there's a flood somewhere, right? I'm not saying don't do this. I'm just saying I give to these things. But you're like, I don't know. Did it get out to Nebraska and did they use it? I'm not so sure. This is one of those situations where you can see the good that you're doing right here in your own community. And I'm honored that they ask this show, us, to be a part of it. We're going to be on from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. tomorrow night. So my first Carathon, and we're going to have auctions. We're going to have special stuff that you get a hold of if you pony up enough money. I believe that Jared here is putting his alter ego, J-Rad,
what,
on auction. Are we allowed to reveal anything until then? But let's just say a night you can have fun. There's a
tune in tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Yes, I'll give you all the details.
Absolutely. I mean, we have more than that as well. If you don't want to have to pick J-Rad up off the sidewalk when you're done with him, we have other special things. And so you know it's a good cause. I know it's a good cause. And if you're a fan of mine, you don't want to embarrass me. I want to raise more money. I want to raise more money than other people. So there's that angle as well. So that is tomorrow. Starts at 4:30 a.m. The Carathon, benefiting the Aflac Center and Blood Disorders Center of Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. 4:30 in the morning. All the programming for 2 days will be the Carathon. And so, and they told me, you know, just entertain. You know, we just do what you want to do. So I'm going to have a different kind of show. And that's just the thing about telethons, carathons, these sort of things is you break the programming a little bit. And if I could, I'd have tap dancers on, but that's not very good on radio. So, you know, you try to have fun for you know, something that's a very serious cause. But the way to get people to, you know, pick up the phone and donate is to entertain them. So I'm going in with that idea that we do kind of a crazy show. I'd have flamethrowers. I'd do everything I can. All those things are visual. So we'll have some song. We'll have some dance.
Yeah.
We'll have some laughs. And we'll be doing good work for a good cause. And I wish, can you get me, before we're done here, I'd like to know how much money over 15 years
it's
raised.
It's over $16
million. Amazing. I mean, that is like doing something. That's really doing something. And I'm always drawn toward children's charities because, you know, it's one of those things where when you get into other things, there are social issues, and I don't know, maybe policy affected this, so should I give to that? When children are sick, there's no politics involved.
Mm-mm.
It's not something you can have an argument about. It's just something where you go, is there a good way to help? Is there? Then tell me that way so that I can help. And that's what WSB has done for 15 years now. And again, I'm honored to be a part of it. Now, do we have time? I don't think.
Yeah, we can talk one more out real quick.
You always say this to me. I've got like 30 seconds. Okay, give me something.
Well, first of all, before we went to break, I had to like check something off the list here. Eric agreeing with President Obama on something right there. So
that
that's
happens.
A first. No, look at this. I'm checking it off. You can hear the check mark on my paper here.
Before we get to an issue, let me just say this in case you're just starting to listen to this show. I like this show to be different. I'm a different kind of thinker. I'm a libertarian. I'm a conservative. But this show exists for its audience. And what you need to know about this show is that the host does not care how you vote. I will tell you how I vote. I'll tell you why I vote that way. I'll tell you why I think that's best for the country. But I don't care how you vote. I'm not trying to persuade you to agree with me. I just want you to tune in because you're interested in current topics, and this is a real cool show on current topics. It's really quite that simple. So now I've really run out the clock.
Yeah, so real quickly, so there was a mystery illness spreading throughout Buckhead, and it has been identified as a nasty parasite. So
what? Is it in the water supply? I mean, people are sick for like a month.
Yes,
it's like 17
it was
people or something that are sick for like a month. Let me tell you something about this. I don't know what this is, but I'm always scared by real stories that look like a really good plot for a Stephen King book.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen King books always start with like 17 people being sick and everyone going, well, we don't know. And then the next thing you know, it's the apocalypse. I'm not predicting that, but that story does scare me. This is like a lot of people have been sick for like a month.
Since June, yeah.
They say it's not in the water supply?
It's, well, they have some of the water.
Maybe we'll talk a little bit about this as we move on, but it's outrage time. It's always outrage time in America. We have English Nick here with Outrage Corner when we return.
Yes.